Welcome. My name is Melissa Hoffman, Public Health Associate at the Medical Society of the State of New York. I am joined today by Dr. Florence Shum, and we will be discussing chronic fatigue syndrome or myalgic encephalomyelitis.
Hi, my name is Dr. Florence Shum. I am a practicing neurologist for about 10 years, and I am board certified in neurology. I also have board certification in clinical neurophysiology as well as electrodiagnostic medicine, and I work primarily in Staten Island and Brooklyn, New York.
So, Dr. Shum, what is myalgic encephalomyelitis?
So, myalgia encephalomyelitis is a disease of central nervous system. This name is more commonly used in Europe and Canada. It is also known as chronic fatigue syndrome, which we are more familiar with in the United States and Australia. The cause of this condition is uncertain. Patients often start with a flu-like symptoms or can have a sudden onset of presentation. Patients have overwhelming symptom of disabling fatigue greater than 6 months duration, has substantial reduction in activity level, and excludes other fatiguing illnesses.
Is chronic fatigue syndrome considered a physical or a mental illness?
This syndrome is an organic or neurological syndrome. It's not a psychiatric disorder. Depression and anxiety may occur secondary to illness, but not the cause of the illness. It is purely clinical, pattern of symptoms and exclusion of other fatiguing illness. It may be distinguished from other causes of fatigue based on the presence of cognitive function. And there's no specific diagnostic laboratory test available. Potential biomarkers are still under investigation.
Dr. Shum, what are some of the key differences between depression and chronic fatigue syndrome?
That's a really good question. So clinically, they do present a little differently. For example, infectious onset present actually more than 80% of cases for patients with chronic fatigue syndrome, and it rarely follows after infection in patients with depression. And fatigue is necessary for diagnosis in chronic fatigue, whereas mood changes is more necessary for diagnosis in depression. Also, muscle, joint pain, and significant headaches are usually present in patients with chronic fatigue syndrome, but is not usually associated with patients with depression. In addition, there's also diurnal variation, with afternoon being the worst time of the day in patients with chronic fatigue, and morning time is the worst for patients with depression. And also, orthostatic intolerance, such as tachycardia or other autonomic dysfunction, are common in patients with chronic fatigue, but not associated with autonomic symptoms in patients with depression. There's no association with immune symptoms in patients with depression, but it's commonly seen in patients with chronic fatigue syndrome. They usually present with tender lymph nodes, sore throat, chemical or food sensitivities. They also may have loss of body thermostatic stability or intolerance to extreme temperature. This is not so commonly seen in patients with depression. In addition, fatigue and mood improve with exercise in patients with depression, but actually worsens in patients with chronic fatigue syndrome. Lastly, increased negative affect, meaning apathy, hopelessness, suicidal ideation, and self-reproach, is commonly seen in patients with depression. But in patients with chronic fatigue syndrome, they have more of decreased positive affect, meaning energy, enthusiasm, and happiness. And children have a worse prognosis than adults with depression, but better prognosis with chronic fatigue syndrome.
What is the prevalence of chronic fatigue syndrome?
We know that it affects at least 1 million Americans, but less than 20% have been diagnosed. It affects all ages, races, and socioeconomic groups. Onset usually occurs between 20 to 50 years old, affects an estimate of 0.24 to 0.42% of adult population, and majority, 70% of which are women.
What are the main symptoms and common presentations of chronic fatigue syndrome?
Typically, patients present with sudden onset of fatigue. It's often associated with a typical infection, such as a respiratory infection or mono nucleosis, overwhelming fatigue, and substantial loss of physical and mental stamina, even after resolution of the initial disease. They can have malaise and worsening symptoms following minimal physical or mental exertion. These post-exertional symptoms can persist for hours, days, or weeks, and are not relieved by rest or sleep. Many patients are wheelchair-dependent, housebound, or even bedbound. To make the diagnosis, one needs to have at least four of the more common symptoms, some of which I already spoke about, including the post-exertional malaise that lasts for more than 24 hours with slow recovery. They can present with sore throat, tender cervical or axillary lymph nodes, muscle pain, multiple joint pain or swelling, new type or dramatically increased severity of headache, not refreshing sleep, disturbed sleep-wake cycle, and difficulty in concentration or short-term memory. Patients have to present at least four of these common symptoms.
And what are the complications of chronic fatigue syndrome?
So it includes lifestyle restriction, difficulty maintaining a job, social isolation, feeling demoralized, frustrated and or angry, depression and or anxiety.
And what are the treatment options for chronic fatigue syndrome?
There are no drugs that have been approved by the FDA yet. Validation of chronic fatigue syndrome diagnosis by a physician is in itself therapeutic. Be honest with your patient. There is no cure, but medication can provide symptomatic relief. I actually recently saw a young girl. She is about 20, 21, and she told me that she was so debilitated with chronic fatigue that she was actually bedbound for 1 year when she was 15 or 16 years old. And it wasn't until she was diagnosed with chronic fatigue syndrome that she began to feel a little bit better and slowly improve with different medication treatment, where she's now at least ambulatory. Unfortunately, she's still not able to hold a job or go back to school. But that's one example patient I saw recently. So continuing, other treatment options also include cognitive behavioral therapy, encourage graded exercise, because inactivity contributes to deconditioning and depression. Management also include treating insomnia or sleep disturbance, using drugs such as tricyclic antidepressants, cyclobenzaprine, trazodone, quetiapine, gabapentin. These are more tolerable for patients and usually have less long-term side effects. Treating the pain, which sometimes overlaps with fibromyalgia, medications such as NSAIDs, acetaminophen, duloxetine, milnacipran, occasionally tramadol. Narcotics are generally not recommended. Interestingly, stimulants such as modafinil have not shown to have benefits. Diphenidate and dexamphetamine have shown to be somewhat helpful in small trials, but can develop tolerance when used daily and may be habit-forming. I would also encourage physical activity as well as support groups.
And lastly, what is the prognosis of patients with chronic fatigue syndrome?
Restoration of full premorbid health is rare. More common in children, patients with chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia together are less likely to improve than patients with chronic fatigue syndrome alone. On average, only 5% recover, but 40% of patients would improve during their follow-up. 8 to 30% may return to work, and 5 to 20% of patients report worsening.
Thank you, Dr. Shum, for that informative podcast on chronic fatigue syndrome. And thank you for listening. Please go to MISNI's CME website, cme.misni.org, for a free CME program on this topic, as well as many other topics. Thank you again. Have a nice day.